We'd like to thank our friends at PwC for their support, partnership, and collaboration in making Retail Gets Real. Learn more about how PwC helps retailers at pwc.com.
When I think about retail and the biggest change, I think machine learning in particular is the thing that people underestimate how big of a change it's going to be. And it applies across the board. The supply chain, think about all that supply chain data you have that you're not really using that can be applied back to merchants. All that data is available now and can be learned. And what I was saying is the competitive advantage of a company like Walmart is not only do we have a massive amount of data, machine learnings need data in order to train it. And the second thing they need is a human to determine whether it was good. We have hundreds of experts that work for Walmart that can tell the machine whether it's good. And our data plus our merchants can, you know, drive reinforcement learning faster than any other company. So I'm really excited about that.
I'm Bill Thorne from the National Retail Federation, and this is Retail Gets Real, where we talk with retail's most fascinating leaders about the industry that impacts everyone, everywhere, every day. Our guest today is someone who's leading one of my favorite companies, Walmart, into the future. Join us as we sit down with Walmart's Executive Vice President and Chief Technology Officer, Jeremy King, to chat about how technology is shaping the future of retail. Thanks for being here, Jeremy. And my co-host, my colleague, and my friend today is Sarah Rand. Hello, Sarah.
Hi, Bill.
How are you?
I'm wonderful.
And that would be because?
I am energized. It's the big show. It's bigger than bigger than bigger. It's my 14th big show.
Wow.
And it's the biggest ever.
Yeah, 14.
Yeah.
So you really get to talk about how it looked and how it was and where it is today.
I think my first year there were like 18,000 people here. Yeah. We had to share the Javits Center with another show.
And this year we're expecting closer to 40,000.
That's right.
700 exhibitors.
I mean, looks like it. I'm just looking around.
100 hours of content. It's a really exciting time. And we're excited to have you here with us, Jeremy. We really appreciate you taking the time because you're doing something that, you know, every company, if they're not doing it, they're not going to succeed. Putting the time, the energy, the resources, the talent behind developing their technology and integrating that with their core business practice. And so let's talk about that. What are some of the opportunities and challenges that you've seen, you know, integrating those technologies between the stores and with all of the e-commerce things that are going on?
The great part is Walmart as a company has really leaned in. I was telling somebody before I started about 8 years ago. And when I first interviewed with the company, I was talking to Mike Duke, who is the CEO. And he and I really bonded. He's a Georgia Tech ex-engineer.
Regrettably.
We used to
travel together and he would talk about, you know, it would be the only way that I think he remembered me was because, you know, like, oh, here comes the dog.
Got it. But anyway, he really, you know, convinced me to come to Walmart and the fact that they were going to invest in technology. So it was great to have a CEO that was so invested. When Mike retired and Doug came on, I couldn't have been, you know, more happy with, you know, how much Doug has leaned in on the digital transformation of Walmart across the board. I think every retailer is going through this digital transformation problem, especially ones like ours that are 50 plus years old. We have had huge success and to some extent, changing your successful run can be harder than somebody who's trying to rebuild. Early on, I would say there was a little resistance, sort of, hey, this is just how we do it and blah, blah, blah. And we got some incredibly early wins as we developed it. And as I talked to most CIOs and CTOs about transformation, digital transformation in particular, it's about showing early wins because otherwise you still get a lot of skepticism because it costs a lot of money and people are worried about, you know, can we go back if it doesn't work? And, you know, Walmart, we haven't had that problem. And Doug and Mark and Mark Laurie, who's obviously the head of e-commerce, is all about technology. And Greg Foran talked at the analyst day about building the tech-enabled store. And so every part of the company, I think now, is leaning in on what can technology do to my process, my business process, whether it's part of the IT organization and doing automation. You can imagine the millions of POs we get every year and, you know, just automating those sort of IT processes, benefits, sign up for benefits or you know, Clay Johnson, who's our CIO, was talking about, you know, we have 1.1 million associates in the U.S. I need to take a little bit of time off for a family emergency. You know, what's the process to do that? Just automating that instead of getting hundreds of thousands of those coming in, we can automate a ton of that. On the retail side, it's even more exciting because the technology, as you've seen all around the Retail Federation, is all about how to enable customers in a new way, the digital relationship. So you've seen a ton of investment in our grocery pickup and delivery services, our easy return process that you buy online, return in the store. It's our big competitive advantage compared to other online places. You know, just every part of it. It shows up a lot on the customer side. There's an amazing amount of technology that's going on in the merchandising and supply chain side as well that people don't see as much. But it's just an exciting time to be in retail and technology.
What are some of those things? So I walk into a Walmart today, and what are some of the things that are happening that I am benefiting from but don't even notice that didn't exist a few years ago?
One of the biggest frustrations you hear for customers, there's two main things that they hear. Number one, I came to the store and you didn't have what I wanted, or you're out of stock in particular. And the other one, of course, is the checkout line, and we can talk about that later. Making sure that we're in stock is actually more important than ever. You know, the big box retailers, in a lot of ways, you know, it didn't really matter if you were 95%+ in stock, you were in pretty good shape. Today, it's not okay. It needs to be closer to 100 because you're ordering online, and I need to know if I'm ordering my cereal or my bottle of water on the website, I can't then go to the store and pick it and then decide, oh shoot, we're out of stock on it. So having real-time store accurate inventory management is as important for a store as it is a warehouse now. So you've seen a lot of technology investments on that. Not only things like the floor scanning robot will go down the aisles and check for in-stock and availability, but also better machine learning projects that help us predict, you know, what items are going to go in or out of stock in a more efficient manner. And we've seen our on-shelf availability numbers rise over time. Over the last, you know, 3 years in particular, we've been investing heavily on this. And actually, online grocery is actually making our store in stock even better. Because now you have people walking the stores all the time and picking the items. And, oh, we're out of stock on this item. It says we have 10, but there's zero on the shelf. Something went wrong. And now we have, you know, more chances to pick up items that are out of stock. So to some ways, everybody talks about retail as detail. Technology can help, you know, that detail be even better.
You know, it's interesting to me because I think about where Walmart was, where they are, and where they're going, and the speed with which that all happened. I mean, it didn't happen overnight. You can't turn this battleship that quickly. But it took a lot of work, I would have to believe, in getting people invested in the idea that this is important. This is important for our continued and growing success. How do you do that? I mean, you've got these managers that have been there for a long time, 30 years. You've got people that have been in the home office since Mr. Sam was there. How do you get them to embrace this idea that we need to move ahead technologically?
I was really worried about when I first started at Walmart 7 years ago. And I often tell people, I told them I'd be there either 6 months or 10 years. And because if that was the problem where I was just running into resistance all the time, I knew it wasn't going to happen. What I was, you know, surprised with in seeing such a large company get completely behind it. Sure, there's, you know, oftentimes I call it the frozen middle. How do you get the sort of mid-level managers that sort of have the day-to-day job to change their business processes? That's a problem with training and making sure you understand what's really going on. But I'll tell you, support from the top is, you know, Walmart, not that it's a top-down culture, but it's a very tight. I mean, Walmart operationalized, you know, the building of super centers and the execution of one best way, we call it, inside the company, I think better than any company in history. You know, sort of how do I cookie cutter and stamp out these super centers around? And so the company is very used to saying, okay, we found a better way to do this, follow this process. And in a lot of ways, it's helped from a technology standpoint because, hey, we've implemented a new mobile app that helps you unload the trucks faster. Great. Okay. How do we do it? Here's the process. Go. And the company is really good at doing that. And so it's helped from a technology adoption standpoint.
Well, I think part of the success of Walmart through the years has been its ability to innovate. I mean, they've always been in front of innovation. I think that digital or the, you know, online e-commerce side caught them a little by surprise. But the good news was it caught everybody by surprise. And yet at the same time, they recognized it, they knew the importance, and boom, they were on it like that.
You know, I grew up in the internet space. I was at eBay for many years and then at a pet food retailer before that. And so we were always watching Walmart and the other retailers kind of flounder around in the sort of late 90s, early 2000s, kind of figure out the space. But you're right. I think, you know, until you really saw mass adoption, it's Walmart's a mass retailer, right? Until
right.
you get mass adoption, you know, it's just a niche thing on the side. So, but I think we realize, you know, our competitive advantage is to use our stores as essentially online pickup and delivery and return locations. And as a result, the integration of digital and physical, it's a perfect environment in order to combine the digital and physical. So we will continue to use our competitive advantage, fresh and frozen grocery delivery, you know, combined with not only a long tail big box retail store, but the millions of items that are available that are just one day away from delivery.
Grocery was, in general, late to the e-commerce game. That's a little bit new for a lot of people, but you guys were early to the e-commerce and now you're in grocery. Does grocery provide its own set of challenges, or do you feel like it actually helps all of everything get better?
Grocery was late because it's hard.
Yeah.
The cold chain and just freshness and, you know, making money on a relatively low margin business, you know, was not something that, you know, the internet pioneers went after first. So, and you've seen other companies kind of go in the space and flounder around because it's really hard to make money selling groceries. Walmart, of course, has figured that out. And again, our competitive advantage is to take our physical assets that are incredibly strong grocery retail businesses and combine it with an online experience so that you can make it a beautiful. I mean, one of the biggest problems with grocery is keeping freshness, right? And Walmart has fresh food coming in every single day. And just combining that with a delivery service and getting at your house, you're getting, you know, apples and corn and watermelons that literally came out the truck just hours before. And so, you know, you almost can't beat us from a scale. That's where the scalability part really helps out a ton.
The supply chain must be so complicated.
I agree. It's, you know, every time I think about, you know, a sort of an ambient item supply chain and its complexities, you know, it's times it by 10 when you add a fresh item, right? Because
yeah.
you have to deal with the cold chain is a hugely complex part. And then even after it leaves the store, you know, how do I make sure that it's cold enough when it's being delivered? And there's all kinds of technology that's going to be pretty fun there to see, you know, how to keep track of whether it stayed in the cold chain the entire time, right?
You know, it's really hard, you know, speaking of cold, I want to go to blockchain real quick, mm. but not yet. Because I'm trying to think, do you use online grocery? Or do you do that?
Yeah, sometimes.
Do you? Do you do that, Jeremy?
All the time.
Do you really?
Yeah, it's almost everything we do. We have a Walmart that's about 7 miles away from my house, which means it's not my primary location. But we get deliveries pretty much every Sunday night to my house. It's sort of the stock up trip,
right.
if you will. And then my wife will go down to the local grocery store when we need, oh, we forgot this or we ran
right.
out of that. But it's a game changer, right? From, you know, you only have to deal with it, you know. And you can add items so easily, either on your phone or voice, or, you know, we have a Google Home at the house and say, hey, oh, I forgot, add bananas or, you know, add whatever. And it just makes your list for you. And then on Sundays, we usually stock it up over Thursday and then click the button on like Friday night or Saturday morning. And then it comes on Sunday night and then you're ready to roll for the week. Right?
I've also ordered it for other people. My mom was under the weather yeah. once and I was like, what do I do? Do I send her flowers? And I was like, oh no, I'm going to send her produce. And so I got online and she lives, you know, in the Midwest. I live in DC and,
you know, it's funny
an hour and a half later,
she
had groceries.
One of the things I didn't expect and I should have is when we rolled out pickup service, it was pretty miraculous. And you hear about the busy mom and got 5 minutes between soccer games and piano lessons and I can swing by the Walmart and get it packed in the back of your store or the back of your car. But the other things we've heard is exactly that. It's like, I'm under the weather. I'm disabled. I'm ordering for my mother who can't get out. You know, I broke my leg. You know, it's like, it's a game changer for
yeah.
all kinds of people.
Yeah.
And they're willing to pay the $7 or whatever it costs to get the items delivered. It literally is a game changer. Think about the elderly. And, you know, we have some of our biggest online orders, grocery orders are for kindergartens and preschools and elderly centers and things like that. And they're just stocking up. And they're every week they're just ordering hundreds of items. And it's amazing.
And new moms. That's the other big one. When I have friends that have kids, just send them groceries.
Absolutely. That's a great idea.
Send them groceries.
You know, the drive-up pickup, I have to tell you, the commercial that y'all just recently did with Bumblebee, I think.
It was all the classic cars. So
and,
it was,
but the most classic car of them all was the car at the end, which was Mr. Sam's pickup truck. And I saw that and I literally yelled out loud. I was scared of the people that I was watching TV with because it was during the football game, I believe. Or was it the Academy Awards? I can't remember. But anyway.
It was the Golden Globes.
Golden Globes. That was it. But it was ingenious to put that in there.
It's amazing how many people have tweeted and texted me that they saw it. And people that didn't work at Walmart. I had a couple of good friends like right after say, I can't believe you got Sam's truck in there. How class was that? I'm like, they never worked at Walmart in their life. Everybody knows Sam's truck.
Knows.
It was great. If you haven't seen the commercial, check it out. They did such a wonderful job. Our marketing team is incredibly
good. They did. It was fantastic. So let me ask you real quick. I've got a bazillion questions and I just looked at the time. I was like, that can't
already
be
done.
Right. But I do want to hit on blockchain.
Sure.
It is what everybody's talking about right now. Is it really what everybody thinks it is, which is a total game changer as it relates to the supply chain, the credibility of the supply chain, keeping it safe?
I think it is a game changer for the supply chain. The thing that bugs me about blockchain is everybody thinks it's like can be used for everything. And it is really good for finance. And, you know, it's a ledger, right? And for places that you need a long standing ledger. But the challenges that I have with it, technology-wise, it's pretty early. It's pretty heavy. And so there's a lot of discussions about blockchain 2.0 and making it lighter weight. And, you know, can you have segments and that sort of thing? But I do think it has really changed the way we think about fresh produce. You still have to deal with the garbage in, garbage out problem. Just because somebody marked it as organic or came from here doesn't mean they actually did. You need to verify. You need the verification process still. But once it's in there, you can't change it, which is excellent. So Charles Redfield, who runs our fresh business, was talking about recalls. And, you know, it would take hundreds of man hours of, you know, to figure out recalls and where items got delivered and that sort of thing. And now it's seconds, right? We get a recall notice, we got a problem, it'll take us seconds to deal with fresh. And that part is a game changer. I think we'll see it in a few other areas, but I don't think a lot of people think it's, you know, it's the new database and we can replace all of object stores and all that stuff. Let's use it for what it's good for.
The other thing that I keep hearing around the big show is automation and machine learning and how that's going to help the supply chain from an efficiency standpoint. Are you a believer?
I think when I think about retail and the biggest change, I think machine learning in particular is the thing that people underestimate how big of a change it's going to be. And it applies across the board. The supply chain, think about all that supply chain data you have that you're not really using that can be applied back to merchants. You know, merchants have been asking for this stuff for years. Like, did this item sell? And, you know, when did it sell? Did it sell after hours or before hours? Did it sell on the weekend? Did it sell on... All that data is available now and can be learned. And what I was saying is the competitive advantage of a company like Walmart is not only do we have a massive amount of data, machine learnings need data in order to train it. And the second thing they need is a human to determine whether it was good. You talked about reinforcement learning. Reinforcement learning is the computer says this is what we should be doing. And somebody has to say yes or no. Is that a good result or a not good result? We have hundreds of experts that work for Walmart that can tell the machine whether it's good. And our data plus our merchants can, you know, drive reinforcement learning faster than any other company. So I'm really excited about that.
Well, we are really closing in on time. So we're going to do something that normally I tee up as you probably weren't aware of, but what we found was you are aware of that we're going to do rapid fire.
Yes, I heard. I don't know what the questions are, but I figured it was going to happen.
One of our favorite segments on Retail Gets Real is rapid fire. Thanks to our sponsor, PwC.
So we're going to ask you a question and you're going to come up with the first thing that comes to mind. You're not going to think about it too much. Are you ready?
Yep, ready.
All right, Sarah, kick us off.
Sunrise or sunset?
Sunrise.
Ideal vacation?
Big house with my whole family in it.
Best advice to a college grad tech person?
Don't become a manager too early.
That's a good one, actually. That is really
good. Become an expert before you go into management.
Oh, So many people I'd like you to talk to.
Yeah.
Me? Are you looking at me? Why are you looking at me?
Because you're sitting across the table from me. You probably know who I'm talking about. So the one thing in your refrigerator, no matter what, it's always there.
Beer.
You're the second person in today that has said that. You endear yourself to me when you. I mean, this is great. Congratulations, and let's grab one time.
Absolutely.
Last thing you geeked out over?
Quantum computing is super interesting. Out where that's going, it's going to be big.
All right.
It's going to be 10 years, but it's going to be big.
Pizza or burger?
Neither. Pizza.
Pizza.
What superpower do you want to have?
Teleportation. I hate being in the airplanes.
I'm with you on that, and it takes forever. So, well, I want to let our listeners know, if they want to learn more about Walmart, what they're doing in technology, or just about the company, where should they go online?
We have a bunch of places, but I would start with walmartlabs.com. We have a great place where we talk about our tech blogs and all the things that we're up to lately. We're going to hire about 2,000 more engineers this year, which is amazing. We hired 1,700 last year, 2,000 more this year. There's so much going on at Walmart, but it's a good place to show, you know, all the good things that we're working on across the board.
That's great. Jeremy, thank you so much for taking the time today.
Great to be here. Thanks a lot for the questions.
Really glad that you were here. And Sarah, thank you once again
for
co-hosting. I enjoy it so much.
Me too.
You're so smart. Hey, we're going to post more information about the topics we discussed today on our website, retailgetsreal.com, where you can also find links to other episodes. So thanks for listening. And if you like Retail Gets Real, please tell your colleagues, your friends about the show and give us a rating on your podcast app. Again, thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.